5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hull. We've got Angel, the one and only, on the other side of the bulletproof glass. If you guys want to get at us today on our First Advantage text line, you certainly can. 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Method Flow Products poll question. I'm just going to ask it. Are analytics ruining the NFL? And I'm not talking about stats and stuff. I'm talking about the computerization of the NFL, of play calling. Well, we plugged in the scenario, 3rd and 12 on your own 22, and if you run it here or do a pitch, you're slightly a better chance. I mean, what we're seeing, yes. I mean, listen, some of it's okay, but what, I mean, last night, Monday Night Football, the Raiders are, they score a touchdown, they're down one, what was it, 30 to 29. 4 minutes to go. The Chiefs are probably going to go score anyway. They're probably going to do something anyway here. Go tie the game. Instead, we've got the analytics show that going for it gives you a better probability of winning. Well, of course it does. If you get it, you're winning the game at that point. You know what, Angel? If you are ahead of a team by 1 point, the chances of you winning are greater than the chances of you losing. Chargers coach Staley, right? Is it Staley? Am I right? Okay. Going for it, what was he on? His own, like 38 or something like that late in the game. They're up two. They don't get it. The Browns miss the field goal, but still, it's like you got lucky there. Even Nathaniel Hackett, 3rd and 4 on Thursday Night Football. You throw a, what is it, a slant route? The analytics showed, I don't know if you have that. Did you find Nathaniel Hackett talking about, you know, what the analytics said to do? Well, the analytics say that if we get a touchdown here, well, obviously, dude, you're up 2 scores. Like, Angel, the analytics say that if you're up by 10 with 30 seconds left, you're going to win. Do we need a computer, dude? Do we need the guy from Moneyball up there? I mean, there may be times. But just decide to go for it. I don't know. So that's my poll question today. Are analytics, the Method Flow Products poll question of the day, are analytics ruining the NFL? And when I'm not saying like with baseball, I don't feel like it ruins baseball. You know, the analytics say that if you have a left-handed pitcher in this inning, you bring him out of the bullpen against this hitter, then chances are you're going to get a strikeout. Okay, whatever. That's different to me. But as far as like just bare bones decision making. 4th and 2. You're down 2. You could choose to kick a 60-yard field goal or go for it. Either choice could work. Do we need analytics? Well, if you kick the field goal, you'll be up by 1, and studies show that you'll be winning at that point. If you miss the field goal, then the other studies show that you will, in fact, be losing. Am I way off base here? Because, dude, what are we seeing in the NFL? Head coaches are outthinking themselves. It's happening more and more every week. It's not just Nathaniel Hackett. Now, his is, you know, we're really talking about him a lot because, you know, the expectations with Russell Wilson and everything and, you know, first-time head coach. And you've already had a lot of these analytical debates going on. But guys like Staley and Josh McDaniels last night, the Chiefs going for 2 would have made it a, where they were trying to make it a 9-point game, and then they didn't get it, so it's a 7-point game, which anybody that took the spread was happy that the Chiefs went for it and didn't get it. We're overthinking it, man. I was accused the other day of maybe you're overthinking it. I have never been accused of overthinking anything. In fact, I underthink things. Sometimes I think there needs to be some good old-fashioned underthinking in the NFL.
Well, we see just the advancements of the NFL and the sport itself, you know, with science and health and, you know, how the game is played and how coaches, you know, game plan and scheme for certain teams and all that. But like you said, we're outsmarting ourselves because we're making this simple game and we have so much information about this simple game of football that we have to overthink every aspect of it. And it's taking away the enjoyment of football because it's putting teams in situations where, like, why are you doing this
to
yourself?
What are we doing here?
You're making this harder on yourself when you could just play a tie game. Hey, it's 0-0 with 4 minutes. Go play.
Go get a stop, whatever. But the Chiefs are going to – I mean, I'd argue that the Chiefs down one are more dangerous than the Chiefs tied.
They're going to score.
I would argue that a down Chiefs team who just went and scored, you know, down 17-0, there's something that goes off with teams like that where it's like, we're down? Holy, we got to go. Or if you're tied, it's more, let's be careful. We don't want to screw this tie up. We want to at least be able to go to overtime. I would argue that the analytics should have said that. Or maybe that's a gut feeling. Football's, like you're saying, it's easy, and some of it is. Like, the decisions are relatively easy. But overall, like, it's a complicated game. If you were just explaining the game to somebody that's never... What's easier for you to explain to a person that's never watched sports in their life? Football, baseball, basketball, or hockey? I mean, they're all about getting a ball into a goal in some way, but football's got a lot more rules and regulations of how to get that ball. Hockey's, there's no first downs and fourth downs and going for it and kicking field goals and all that stuff. Basketball, it's get the ball in the hoop. Football, there's field goals, there's touchdowns, there's safeties, there's sacks, there's punts. There's all of these different aspects of football that make it complicated. But you're right when you say that it is relatively easy on some of these decisions. The math says if we kick a field goal, we're tied. If we don't kick a field goal and we go for two and don't get it, we are losing. That used to be a no-brainer. Go for... I was watching a college game. Was it Oregon State? Who was Oregon State playing? They score with like 13 seconds left. They get the touchdown. And they're going to go for two because they're up one. But then as soon as the play broke down in the middle of the play, the quarterback just stepped back and kneeled it. Like, I was like, what is he doing? Oh, because he doesn't want to get sacked and force a fumble so they could return it back for 2 points, right? And some of that stuff does kind of make sense, but I just think that we are overthinking everything here when it comes to the National Football League. In basketball and baseball and hockey, I don't think it lends itself to too much overanalyzation. Now, there are times where it's like, Malone got cute trying to play this combo of players. What's he doing there? And, you know, baseball, you can have those certain situations for sure, too. The way you manage your pitching staff or what have you, or the shift, which is no longer going to be there. It's just, again, I'm looking at these obvious decisions, and not just from Nathaniel Hackett, but last night, like, is there anybody that says, yes, go for it, Raiders? McDaniels and Derek Carr both said, yeah, that was the right call. We were pumped. We did it. Well, of course the offense wants to go for it. They always want to go for it. They want the ball in their hands so that they can go score. That's what they play football for, is to play offensive football. And then you go back to Staley's decision. I mean, that was just ridiculous, man. They're on, okay, so the Chargers are on their own 46. They're up, what, 30-28. They've got the 2-point lead. Called a timeout. Instead of punting, Justin Herbert attempted a short pass on 4th-and-1 to Mike Williams, and it went incomplete. The Browns now have the ball on the Chargers' 46-yard line. And they got in field goal range, missed the field goal. Staley gets bailed out. Staley comes back and says, we wanted to finish the game with the ball. We wanted to finish the game on our terms, and really felt the slant to Mike would be the play there. We liked it. We believe in our process. We believe in our players. We're willing to live with that decision. There was no way I'm taking our offense off the field. What? Like, seriously, no way? Would you have gone for it there? 4th-and-2. Miami Dolphins with Tua are up 2 points. On your own 46, it's 4th down. It's 4th and was it 4th-and-2? Is that right? Are you going for it? Or are you punting it, saying defense win the football game?
How much time is left?
Like a minute? Let me look here. A minute 14. You're going to force the Browns to get in field goal range. If you don't get it, they're almost there. They're 5-10 yards away.
Right, and you got to think about, you know, situationally, how's your defense playing? How far can your kicker kick it? Can he kick it, you know, just in front of the end zone so they run some time off on the run back?
Sure.
Can you get a touchback? Can the defense, you know, what kind of calls are you looking for? What have they been doing? You know, and, you know, putting yourself in the shoes of an NFL head coach, it's not easy. I need more than 30 seconds to answer that question. And you're talking about multiple lines of communication on the sidelines, multiple people up in the booth looking at their computers, looking at the analytics, and all of this is happening at lightning speed while you're trying to get your field goal unit or your offensive unit on the field. And so it's a very tough decision, and we might rely on analytics to make that for us. But in obvious situations like the Raiders, kick the field goal.
As a fan, like with the Chargers, Browns, come Chargers, go for it, win the game. I'm a fan. You go for it, you're a hero. But the risk versus reward, you know, the risk is that you don't get it, and they have 10 yards to go for a field goal to win the game. And the conventional wisdom just says, punt the ball. Punt it. Last night, go for it. Wow. Watching Philadelphia and Atlanta right now. Philly's up 2-0. Got a two outs. Got a runner on third, runner on first. Is Philly going to pull off a little upset action here today? Interesting. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from Monday night, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Well, the good, there was a lot of good things from that game. I mean, Devontae Adams is amazing. Didn't come down with that last catch, of course, but he's ridiculous. Patrick Mahomes is ridiculous. I think the Raiders might find a way to win some games this year. But you gotta go with the four touchdown man, Travis Kelce, with a monster game on Monday Night Football.
Mahomes over the middle, pass caught, Kelce, touchdown. Mahomes, Kelce's got another touchdown. Mahomes, Kelce, looking for his third. He found it, touchdown. From the one, Mahomes, end zone. He's got another. Night, Travis Kelce yet again.
Is that a record for Monday Night Football? I think it was a record. Did I see that wrong somewhere? Maybe I'm wrong. But that was a phenomenal game. And he only had 25 yards receiving. Dude, give me that production for the Broncos and I am the happiest clam out there. I don't need 100 yards for my tight end. I need a red zone machine. A guy that owns the red zone. That, to me, is more beneficial than what you can do between the 20s. If you can run the red zone, then Travis Kelce, is he the best red zone player in the NFL right now? I mean, outside of quarterback, is he the best red zone guy?
I would say so, and just the way that KC uses him, they'll line him up, you know, right on the line, just off the line, in the slot, even out wide if they need to, in the backfield even. Kelce can do it all and showed it last night. Four touchdowns. Impressive.
Monster. Monster. The bad for me, another weird roughing the passer call. Was it Chris Jones? Chris Jones gets all over Derek Carr. He's just sacking him. The ball's coming out. He actually goes and tries to brace himself. And they called roughing the passer, which led to a field goal by the Raiders. Could have been game-changing considering how close this game was. It's just despicable what we're seeing. We saw another one against a player against Tom Brady the other day. Here it is.
Carr is hit from behind. And the ball is taken away by Jones. A flag comes out on the play.
That ball is out. I think it is a fumble, and I think Carl's going
personal
full body
foul.
Way.
Roughing the passer. Number 97. Defense. 15-yard penalty.
I took a screenshot of one of the fans and it was like, I was like, is that Dixon right now? That looks like Dixon just losing it, and I would be too. I get it. That was awful. That could have cost you. What are we doing here? I mean, just absolutely despicable what we're doing. Chris Jones suggested to review those calls, and I'm not a big fan of reviews, but if this is how we're going to officiate a quarterback sack. Because there was another play on Patrick Mahomes. The Raiders defender did the same thing that the Falcons defender did to Tom Brady. He sacked him and then a little extra oomph to get him down.
A whiplash tackle. Almost.
Yeah, that happened against Patrick Mahomes and they didn't call it.
That's what happened to Tua and they didn't call it.
They didn't call that? That was worse. Yeah, we called it on Tom Brady.
The NFL's reaction to concussions and quarterback safety has gone way too far. They just implemented these rules, and within 2 days, there's already controversy.
We've already had three We've already had one called, one not within a game. We had the Tom Brady one called, and I don't know how you sack a quarterback. I don't know how you play defense in this league anymore.
Can't touch anybody.
And the other thing is we're inconsistent about it. In the same freaking game, you called Chris Jones sack where he's trying to brace himself to actually not hurt. I'd give that guy a medal. He's actually trying not to hurt the dude. You saw his left arm brace himself as he's ripping the ball away. It should have been a fumble.
Well, he had the ball in his hand already.
Yeah, it should have been a fumble in his ball, Chiefs ball, and he's bracing himself to not hurt him. That's what you want to show on the big screens. Hey, guys, this is how you do it. You know, if there's any doubt that you might hurt the quarterback, you go down, you try to brace yourself if you can so you're not putting your full weight on him. That should have been a learning video right there. Instead, he was flagged. And then the Raiders player gets out. I don't know who it was. That sacked Patrick Mahomes late in that game, wrenched him down way harder than Derek Carr went down, and they didn't call anything. What are we doing here?
We're trying to get these players on a short basis, on a short-term notice. Like, hey, we're trying to be safe about the quarterbacks and all this, so I need you 300-plus pound lineman or linebacker, whoever, to literally fight physics so that you hit the quarterback, bring him down to a 45-degree angle, let go of him, let him fall completely, and don't touch him ever again. It's ridiculous.
Well, remember when Clay Matthews got that one years ago? I mean, maybe 10 years. I have no concept of time anymore. I mean, it was a prototypical sack. Like, he put his shoulders into his waist. He drew, his head was on the other side of the player. No helmet going in. Just a pure drive-down tackle. And they called a penalty on that, and that was years ago. But we haven't gotten any better from that point.
And tackles look different from when, if you're chasing down a guy, that tackle looks different than when a defensive lineman is coming directly at a quarterback's face, and the only way to go is down. You're not falling forward, you're falling backwards.
Mm.
It's a different way of tackling, and we see it differently. It looks worse because it's just a different type of impact.
Yes. Just insane to me. The ugly, by the way. For me, it was going for it. Here's Josh McDaniels in this crazy decision to go for the win rather than the tie.
You have an opportunity right here offensively to take the lead. You do it. They hand to Jacobs. And he, no signal, they didn't get it. And the Chiefs still lead by one.
Well, I mean, Aikman's like, yo, you have the opportunity to go for the lead. You absolutely do it.
So you run a handoff?
Yeah, and again, if we're talking 30 seconds left, I'm more okay with that because it's like, we're going to go to overtime with this team. We all know what happens in overtime with Kansas City. Let's go for the win, see what happens, but put it in Derek Carr's hands. I mean, I know Josh Jacobs was running all over the place, but everybody and their mother knew that that's what they were going to do. So 4 minutes left to go gives you an opportunity to make a stop without all the pressure on you. There is something to say for a defense without the pressure on them. You know, and if you're tied, it's not like every play is going to break your back. You're down one now. Every play, every first down is a killer, and your confidence starts to erode as the game goes on. Now, again, opportunity, the Raiders did get the ball back. And what was that play on fourth down? The old send your receivers and run into each other and hope for some kind of pass interference. That looked like a Hackett play right there. That looked like that one that Russell Wilson completed to Cortland Sutton. When Montrell Washington or Tyree Cleveland? I don't remember. And the ref, like, caused them to run into each other. That was, like, no rhyme or reason why that play should have existed. Somehow, Cortland Sutton pulled it down. Not the case last night for the Raiders. And now the Chiefs take a stranglehold on the AFC West. But don't get too crazy just yet. The Chiefs have the Bills coming up on Sunday. Why is that game not? Can we not flex that game?
It's not Sunday night.
I think it's an afternoon game. It's efforting, trying to find it. Why can't I find it? We'll get there. Bills, Chiefs, 225 Mountain. 225. Can we flex that? What's the Sunday night game? I thought we had the ability to do that now. Is that not a real thing anymore?
Sunday night is Cowboys, Eagles.
Ooh. Okay.
I don't think they can flex it until like after week 8.
That's so
I think.
Stupid.
Why was that not already a primetime game?
That should have been a primetime game anyway. And this is actually like the Eagles Cowboys is big now, but did we think it was going to be bigger than Chiefs-Bills? Maybe the Chiefs already had their allotment of nationally televised games. I don't know, but that's one of them I would have put. I would put that on there more so than, because aren't the Broncos-Chiefs going to be on a primetime game?
Yep, that's next Sunday.
Oh. Broncos-Chiefs?
Oh, no, a couple weeks.
Yeah, later. It's a couple. Let's see. The Chiefs, they do play on a 12-11. What is that?
December 11th.
Thank you. Is that Sunday or Monday?
I believe it's Sunday.
The analytics show that 12-11 is December 11th.
Yes, December 11th, 2022 is a Sunday.
So they play, maybe they're like, see, I would rather see Sunday Night Football with the Chiefs-Bills than Sunday Night Football with the Broncos and the Chiefs. Whatever. That's the Methaflow Products poll question of the day. Are analytics ruining the NFL? Go vote at theholeshow.com, and we'll see where this one ends up at the end of the day. And a lot of people saying yes. Dude, I just checked. It was 100%. Okay. Well, we'll see how that goes. Go vote at theholeshow.com. And we'll see. It's not loading. But all right, we did take a quick break. AFC West, where are we right now? Are the Chiefs going to run away with this thing? Let's take a look at the Chiefs' schedule. Let's take a look at the rest of these teams in the area. And how big does that Monday Night Football game become for the Broncos and the Chargers? We'll talk about it next. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo, a Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA. It's a moment of truth.
Trying to motivate the hooligans here. It is a top text Tuesday. Big time today. I got a $15 gift certificate up for grabs. Dixon won last week. Weld County Suwamee won the week before that. B-Rad still is my only hooligan that could take home the $50 gift certificate. Courtesy of Cables, he would be the first one to win three. And then we reset. But maybe a hooligan has something to say about that. So I want good takes today. Fantastic takes. There's a lot to talk about. We've got the Method Flow Products poll question of the day, talking about analytics ruining the NFL. I've got the Avalanche starting up on Wednesday, tomorrow night. We're starting the season tomorrow night. Let's go. I got Kyle Fredrickson coming up in the third hour today from the Denver Gazette. He's our Colorado Avalanche insider. So we'll have him on the program. I got playoffs going on. We got Nuggets preseason. Last night they beat the Suns. Does that mean that they're a shoo-in to win the title? Probably. They did it without the Joker. All of that. So I want your text. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It is a Cables Pub and Grill Top Text Tuesday. Bring the takes. Dixon getting right at it today. With all the rules favoring the offense, and the way the game is being officiated now, teams aren't trusting their defenses to get stopped. So you see more aggressive coaching decisions as they want to try to control the outcome of the game with their offense instead of trying to stop somebody. You're not wrong. I mean, you're not wrong at all. The way this game has changed has also changed the thinking of head coaches. It's amazing how football, especially, few rule changes over 20 years that have changed the offense, that have given the offense more opportunities to score, have started to change and seep in to where coaches now are not trying to fight the good fight anymore, saying, well, we got to stop them. Defense has got to stop them. No, they're actually just going, probably not going to stop them because even an average offense can move the ball down the field and get in field goal range. And that's a good text. That's a great text.
Yeah, and I think on part of that, like, it's kind of schemed against defenses. You could give the offense the ball back with 30 seconds left to win the game. If they take one deep shot and get a flag, That's PEI. You're in field goal range.
Exactly. There's so many things working against you. And when I was in college, when I went to UNC, in my speech class, one of the speeches I gave, that was right around the time, Angel, when the NFL was basically saying, okay, cornerbacks can no longer play physical. Because it used to be they could play physical until the ball was in the air.
It was like up to 5 yards past the line of scrimmage.
It was up to 5 yards, but then it was also you could be physical. And once the ball is in the air, which you have to watch for, then you have to back away. They changed those kind of things right around that time. And I did a speech talking about how this was going to impact the NFL, how this was going to hurt defenses, and this is ultimately going to hurt the game. Well, I was wrong. It didn't hurt the game because the NFL's ratings have never been better. We are now so in on football that even erroneous play calls and flags being thrown on defenders that are sacking quarterbacks, we're not going to not watch. We're still going to watch. The NFL has done this to us. It's like Game of Thrones, man. I mean, it was so ridiculously good. Even the last two seasons that were terrible, we were still watching. We were still in on that. The NFL's that plus, you know, times a million. Because we can argue about the sacks and the penalties. You ain't going away. So it didn't ruin the game. It grew the game. I was wrong on that. But it is ruining, I think, the mindset of these coaches in the NFL. We're just getting so out. And I like being innovative. I do. I like sometimes going for it in unconventional situations. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, fourth and two on your own 46 for the Chargers, and not taking an opportunity to tie the game with 4 minutes left. Nathaniel Hackett not running the ball on third and four, let the clock go down to 2 minutes, and at the very least, you're kicking a field goal, forcing a touchdownless team in that game to go get a touchdown on you. Matt Ryan didn't even know he was alive in that game, and you're scared he's going to go down and get a game-winning touchdown. If he does, he does. We're outthinking ourselves. And I get it. You don't trust defenses anymore. Why would you? You can't sack the quarterback. You can't play tough against a wide receiver. I mean, it's crazy. The Well County Swami says the line from genius and moronic is razor thin. Analytics help, but there's a lot to be said for a gut feel. I agree with that. And now we got all these coaches trying to be geniuses, trying to change the way we do. Nathaniel Hackett, either his philosophy on preseason was going to be genius and he's going to change the game, or it's going to be this. And right now it's this. You're 2-3 with not a lot of hope today on this Tuesday. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I want text today. I want solid text. It's Top Text Tuesday presented by Cables Pub and Grill. I got a $15 gift certificate up for grabs at Cables. And B-Rad, if he wins this thing, he gets the $50 gift certificate. He gets win number three. So are you guys going to let that happen? Let's see. 38 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Let's get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Got the Crabtree Brewing Chunkin' Pumpkin as our On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week. I've had this one. This is perfect. This sounds good for like a Friday night, you know, Friday night in October, cooling off, and you're getting that Halloween vibe. The new Halloween movie comes out on Friday, Angel. Sit down and watch something freaky, chill out, have a Chunkin' Pumpkin, courtesy of our friends at On the Rocks Liquor. You can pick up selections from Crabtree or a lot of different local breweries, statewide breweries. I mean, they're finding some excellent spots to work with, and that's one of them. You can stop by their drive-through if you don't want to pop inside, if you're trying to get home. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Don't forget, there's a free tasting this Friday from 4 to 7. The great folks from Classic Distributing will be on hand with some wines to try, too. So, perfect setup. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. The analytics must be telling B-Rad not to go for the third triple T and the victory. Tell him I'll buy him dinner with my $50 gift card. See that? Now that sounds like the Raiders-Chargers situation from last year. Let's agree on a tie, and we'll both go to overtime. But then somebody's going to mess it up. Is B-Rad going to come in here and mess up Top Text Tuesday? I hope so. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Taking a look at the AFC West, and the Chiefs are now 4-1 in the division. The Chargers sit at 3-2. The Broncos at 2-3. The Raiders are now 1-4. Although, I don't feel like the Raiders are done, do you? I feel like the Raiders might be there in the thick of things. This is, again, we said must win against the Colts. They didn't win. Well, Angel, the unfortunate part about us bold broadcasters that say stuff like that is it still wasn't really a must win. You're 2-3. Mathematically, you are far from out of this race. And when you look at the rest of the AFC, I mean, nobody's running away. So wild cards are going to be wide open at this point. And again, early in the season. So for the Broncos, now we just turn it to Monday. It's going to be a must-win game again. You're going to fall way too far behind if you don't win this game. And then the Chargers would go 4-2. Broncos would be 2-4. And are the Chiefs going to beat the Bills? Okay, so here's what the Chiefs have in the next few weeks. They're home against the Bills. That is right there. I tell you what, Sick Man was texting yesterday saying, why aren't you in on the Chiefs, but you're in on the Bills? Well, let this game answer that for us. We're going to let this game answer that for us. So the Chiefs play the Bills, and then they're at San Francisco the following week. Which makes, I mean, the Niners, you want to write them off because the Broncos beat them, but they're still, the Niners are still a decent team. Now, Jimmy G's not going to walk out of his own end zone very often. You're not going to see that kind of game. So the next 2 weeks are interesting for the Chiefs. The Chargers have the Broncos, and then home against the Seahawks. Which, can we all agree that the Seahawks aren't as bad as we thought? They're capable of winning games. They're capable. Would you say that they're capable of beating the Chargers, Angel? I mean, the Browns almost beat them.
I mean, the Jags did beat them.
Yes. So I think that
might be a closer game than we expect.
I think the Seahawks are capable of beating the Chargers. The Broncos, of course. Here it is, dude. Now, I know we're all saying the Jets-Jaguars game suddenly don't feel like gimmies, but they feel better than they do than the Chargers game. If you find a way to win on the road against the Chargers, you set yourself up and you win games you're supposed to win like the Jets and the Jaguars, suddenly you're back in this thing. But that's why Monday night is so crucial. As for the Raiders, here's where the Raiders can get right. They have the Texans this weekend. Then they're at New Orleans. And then at Jacksonville, home against Indianapolis. And then they're at Denver again. The Raiders, I would not write this team off right now. 1-4 at this stage. Are they 1-3? They're 1-3. This team has to find a way. 1-4. I was right the first time. Go with your gut. I'm not writing the Raiders off just yet. And again, the Broncos got to be careful here because you lose Sunday, you lose Monday, and you're in trouble. Top Text Tuesday, First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-888.
Numbers.
Oh my gosh, wow. Analytics, right? 888-530-0043. Texter, as far as the AFC goes, we know the Chiefs are finishing last in the AFC West because you said so. I did say so. So they obviously won't make the playoffs. So, yeah, the Broncos are still in it. So just take it easy. You know, the Raiders beat the Broncos and suddenly, oh, the Broncos suck. The Raiders almost beat the Chiefs and the Raiders pretty good.
I just looked up their combined. So in their four losses, the Raiders have lost by a combined 18 total points.
Yeah, the Raiders
are
bad.
Every single game they've lost, they are in it until the last quarter or something, and they're just not finishing these games.
Is that McDaniels? Now, I haven't watched every Raiders game closely. I know last night, though, you can definitely put – I'm not saying the Raiders win that game if they go for the extra point, but you get the ball – let's say they make the stop, which they did. They make the stop. Is it easier for an offense knowing that it's tied and you've got that in your back pocket that we go to overtime? Is it easier knowing that and then playing kind of with this assurance that you're not going to lose if you don't convert on this possession? I think that's a real thing. I think it gives you confidence. Okay, well, worst case scenario, we go to overtime. And you don't get as wacky with the play calls. Just keep giving it to Josh Jacobs all night long. What a monster game by him. That guy was outrageous. Yeah, the Raiders got to be careful here, though. I mean, a game they should win against the Texans coming up. Can't get that, then you're in trouble. Texans are 1-3-1 at this point. 11:50 the time. We're going to take a short break. We'll wrap up hour number one. It is Top Text Tuesday. $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill is on the line. Just shoot us a text on that easy-to-remember First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I want top text. Give me good takes today, and we'll see who's going to win that $15 gift certificate, courtesy of Cable's Pub and Grill. 11:50 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hill on The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Beginner's luck texting in. Lose Monday, and we should go get Dan Quinn. Are we done with Nathaniel Hackett? I mean, is that really where we are at this point? Lose Monday, and Dan Quinn, is he not going to go take the Panthers job? I keep seeing his name come up, because he's still the DC at Dallas, right? Dallas might go on and do something big. I don't know. I don't know. I can't figure Dallas out right now. Cooper Rush, Dak Prescott, I don't know. But they're, what, 4-1? I'm after that first game for the Cowboys, I'm shocked by this. Can I say something, Angel? Let me say something. You don't know what you don't know, right? That's pretty safe to say.
That's right.
Why? I'm seeing stuff today on social media from an outlet in Denver. And it's basically like the Broncos should stop messing around and go beg Peyton Manning to come in and be some kind of a consultant. Based on what? Based on what? And what is Peyton Manning? Listen, Peyton Manning, Hall of Fame quarterback. Amazing, talented human being. Good at what he does. This Monday Night Football thing, these Peyton Manning broadcasts that he's doing, they're creating, they're genius. He's amazing at that. What's he going to do? Like, he's not going to be an owner. They've already got their ownership group done. You already have your general manager. What makes you think that Peyton Manning's better than George Payton at being a general manager? I'm just asking.
He tells good jokes, Brady.
He knows football. They all know football at this level, bro. They all do. They get to the National Football League because they know football. Some know it better as a quarterback. Some know it better as a coach. Some know it better as an owner or a GM or whatever. But this, and I'm not saying Peyton Manning won't be if that's something he wants to do. But first off, he doesn't want to do that. Peyton Manning is growing in so many different ways, and he's going to continue with his entertainment stuff for a while. That's going to be a thing for him. But why is it just call Peyton Manning, bring him in, bring him in as an advisor? What's he going to advise you to do?
Do you want him to sit in film meetings day in and day out? Do you want him to just go spend the night at Russell's house and just watch film all day and doesn't figure it out?
Russell doesn't need a mentor. He's done that. He's borderline Hall of Fame. He doesn't need a mentor. Hit KJ Hamler. He's wide open there. Did you see that? Yeah, Peyton, I saw that. Okay. I'll send you an invoice.
What is he going to just stand on the sideline and just be there?
No idea.
Like, oh, he's on the sideline. We're winning, right? We got Peyton on the sideline.
Has Peyton Manning ever been? I mean, at Little League, I'm sure, like Pee Wee football and stuff.
He coaches his son's team.
Yeah, but he's never been a coach. Like, he's never been a college coach or an assistant coach or an NFL coach or an assistant NFL coach. This idea that we just go get Peyton Manning. He's the guy. Go get Peyton Manning and he'll be a good advisor. You know the old adage, the old saying, you know, you can't have too many cooks in the kitchen. We got Rosberg, we got Hackett, we got George Payton. John Elway's still floating around there somewhere on that little, whatever that little scooter thing he is. He's still riding around on that thing. And Russell Wilson's kind of like a player coach kind of guy. Like some of those quarterbacks get to that point. You got to be careful here. This whole idea is just silly. And I love Peyton Manning. And I'd be curious to see if, you know, he does want to get in that role right now. But that's not going to be the role. Hey, bring him into Denver and be an advisor today. Are you interested in that? Have you done that before? Is that something that you could do? What does your resume say? Well, I was a great quarterback. Okay. That doesn't always mean you're going to be a great leader. Second hour coming up. We got the Lunch Rush. I'm going to talk about Jay Norvell. We got Mike Brohard. I got Kyle Fredrickson. It's going to be a jam-packed last 2 hours. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Load up the texts. We'll be right back.